This week, Tony Abbott declined Kevin Rudd's invitation to open the campaign with a debate. Instead, the opposition leader spent the first night of the election campaign at an Islamic community dinner. Tony Abbott says the dinner was a prior arrangement and his attendance had a clear political payoff.
Tony Abbott's decision to participate in that event signals a long-term strategy by the conservative side of Australian politics to build very close relationships with ethnic communities and ethno-religious communities. And it's fairly clear that what has been emerging over the last few years is, in a sense, a trans-religious conservative alliance, which links together conservative Christians, conservative Muslims and conservative Jews.
That's Professor Andrew Jakubowicz, an expert on ethnic politics in this country. And on today's Religion and Ethics Report, Andrew West will explore the role that key religious groups will play in this election campaign. Andrew, hello there.
Great to be here as always, Fran.
Just to focus on that term we heard there, the Trans-Religious Alliance. Tell us a little more about that and if it's likely to have a role in perhaps reshaping traditional voting habits.
In this sense, that Tony Abbott, as Andrew Jakubowicz said, has for a long time felt that certain ethno-religious communities, and by that I mean communities for whom their religious identity is as important as their ethnic and their linguistic identity. So Tony Abbott has for a long time felt that they have been mistakenly considered a natural, locked-in part of the Labor constituency. He believes that when you look at many of their socially conservative values, they have a lot more in common with the conservative wing of the Liberal Party. He looks at what was once a strong conservative wing of the Labor Party, socially conservative wing of the Labor Party, sees that that's broken down and that this group of people, family values type religious people across all of the faiths are up for grabs.
So what sort of issues are we talking about? What sort of issues unite religious conservatives?
You won't be surprised if I say that it's to do with traditional marriage, if it's to do with abortion and also life issues, euthanasia, sanctity of life issues. So it won't surprise you to hear that, although it will surprise many people to hear that conservative Christians, Muslims and Jews have very common attitudes on these positions. But yes, it is those sanctity of life issues, as it were, plus the question of traditional marriage that has bound this coalition together.
So you say Tony Abbott has come to this. Do you think we would have seen this from John Howard, this kind of approach?
Well, probably not. Not in the sense of ascribing any malice to John Howard. It's just that it was generally felt that the former Prime Minister was not as comfortable, even though he did attend many Muslim events, was not as comfortable in those environments as Tony Abbott has proved to be. The other thing, too, is that there were external forces such as Australia's participation in the Gulf War that made the previous coalition government very unpopular in Muslim communities. So it's not something that you would have probably seen two or three election cycles ago.
In this election campaign, both political leaders of the major parties are pretty socially conservative by
yes,
and large.
Indeed.
They're both churchgoers. You're also looking at the strong personal religious convictions of Kevin Rudd.
That's right. Roy Williams, who wrote the international bestseller God Actually, which is a response to Richard Dawkins, he has now turned his attention to the religious faith of Australia's prime ministers, starting with Edmund Barton and ending with Julia Gillard, but Kevin Rudd was in there at some point and he's back again. He's making the point about Kevin Rudd that he is probably our most publicly Christian prime minister, publicly religious prime minister.
He's been openly about it.
That's correct. I mean, it's not, it doesn't mean that he is the most devout prime minister that we've had, although he is very serious about his faith. I mean, he points out, Roy Williams did a long interview with Kevin Rudd, that he started to learn Greek so he can read certain scriptures in their original language for a more thorough understanding. But yes, he often gave, and still today, gives press conferences, impromptu press conferences out the front of his church.
He did it on Sunday.
He did it indeed. And that is sometimes to the annoyance of people of faith. They don't necessarily think that Kevin Rudd is using his faith in a bad way, but they'd rather the church didn't become a backdrop to some of those press conferences. So it hasn't always been to the great acclaim, but it's interesting that Kevin Rudd's overt faith back in 2006, 2007 did help help him win over some constituencies that Labor had lost.
Yeah, so how do you think all this religiosity, matters of faith, will translate into or have any kind of concrete effect in terms of seats?
Well,
and will it be quantifiable?
Well, it will be quantifiable in this sense, Fran, that if you look at certain key seats, and this election could come down to just half a dozen key seats. So where, for example, the Islamic community is concentrated in Western Sydney and bits of Melbourne, the positions that the parties take or that the individual candidates take on things like same-sex marriage, on things like the United Nations vote on the Israel-Palestine question, they could have the effect of shifting key blocks of votes where only a few votes matter. So you may be looking at half a dozen seats in Western Sydney where the Muslim vote, which is something the Liberal Party, particularly since Barry O'Farrell became state leader, they've been going after, that Muslim vote could be really critical.
And particularly, as you say, for Labor in some of those seats where they've been reliant on it. And they are, you know, have been courting these relationships for a long time. I mean, that would be a significant blow
to Labor. Yes, but you see, it's already happened, Fran. I mean, you've very astutely picked up on the political impact, but it already happened in the New South Wales election where there was a huge transfer of voters of non-English speaking background from Labor to the coalition, especially in those key middle suburbs, especially in Sydney. And this is probably the case in Melbourne as well, in the 10 to 15 kilometre radius from the CBD, certainly not the inner city, but not the more Anglo-oriented outer suburbs. You've got, Barry O'Farrell was very capable and very canny in going after non-English speaking votes, and they're now called in Liberal parlance, at least in New South Wales, the O'Farrell originals. Mm. Now, Tony Abbott has picked up on a lot of that strategy of courting people, not just of non-English speaking background, but as I said, of different faith communities and making them what he considers to be a natural part of the conservative constituency.
And if that does occur, that would be a significant change, I think, politically into the future of Australia. It would really change, I think, how the parties behave themselves. I mean, in a sense, in the way we see the American electorate affected by faith, it would be a significant change.
It would indeed, and it has echoes, by the way, particularly in the case of the Islamic community, and Tony Abbott referred to this in his speech on Monday night. It has echoes of the way that the Catholic Church, basically in the middle of the 20th century, basically said, we will deal with any party that wants to deal with us. And they struck a bargain with the Menzies government over state aid to Catholic schools, and that effectively ended Labor's monopoly on the Catholic vote. It brought into the coalition a new Catholic constituency that it had lost. And that is what Tony Abbott is now trying to effect with Islamic communities.
Okay. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my great pleasure, Fran.
Andrew West. And you can hear more from Andrew on the Religion and Ethics Report here on RN this afternoon.